Helen Ziller is the chairperson of the Federal Council of the Democratic Alliance, and today we're going to talk about a story that has perhaps gone under many radars. It's the area to the south of Vereeniging and Vanderbijl Park. It's called the Metsimaholo Local Municipality. It's a fascinating story, and Helen will guide us through what's going on there and why it has implications for South Africa as a whole. Thanks as always for joining us, Helen. Metsimaholo. So it is, I had a look at it on the map. It's quite a big area around the Vaal Dam. And at some point, the DA had the mayor. Now the mayor comes from a tiny little party, the African Independent Congress, which I saw got less than 1.5% of the vote. So it sounds a bit like Johannesburg. And there's a high court judgment that I read through about a property developer who went ahead without actually getting an open tender. So it's quite a story. Maybe you can just bring us up to date with the latest that's going on there and how the DA mayor is no longer the mayor of that municipality.
Well, hold on to your hat, Alex, because in fact, the DA mayor is the mayor again. We took the unlawful removal of the DA mayor to court. We won that case, and punitive costs were granted in his personal capacity against the ANC speaker. So he got costs awarded on a punitive scale against him in his personal capacity, so he can't use the municipality's funds to get him out of this corner. He has to pay personally for running a meeting that unlawfully, and he must have known it was unlawful, got rid of the DA mayor. So we have a DA mayor again in Metsimaholo.
Let's just go back to the election in November 2021. And there the ANC ended up with 16 seats, the DA with 12, the EFF with 12, Freedom Front with 3, and then one each for three other little parties, the African Transformation Movement and the African Independent Congress. So put it all together, you didn't have a majority. How was it that the DA got the mayorship?
Well, that's a very interesting story. It was because basically the EFF and the ANC hated each other so much that neither were prepared to countenance the other being the mayor or the speaker. So we put up a candidate, Jeff Zwane, and he was elected the mayor. So Jeff Zwane has been the DA mayor in a minority government. We're not in a coalition, but in a minority government in Metsimaholo since November 2021.
And how come he was no longer the mayor or needed to go to court to become mayor again? Did the EFF decide that it didn't hate the ANC that much?
Correct. Just as in all other places, it suddenly decides that it's going to bring down the government and it moves. It shifts allegiance. That's basically what happens. And the AIC and the other smaller parties also jump around depending on what suits them on the day.
So they want to make the AIC member of the council the mayor. And it just seems so similar to Johannesburg, where you've got these unholy alliances and little parties with tiny percentages of the votes actually get the most important positions, or at least in theory.
Well, what seems to happen is this. In the case of Metsimaholo, which is a special case, obviously you can't compare any municipality directly with another one because they all have special features. But in Metsimaholo, Jeff Zwane became the mayor, although we had a minority of the votes. We had 12 seats, as you say, and the ANC had 16. But the ANC did not have an overall majority, so they couldn't put a mayor there on their own. The EFF refused to vote for the ANC. The ANC refused to vote for the EFF. They hadn't agreed on any of the smaller parties, so Jeff became the mayor. Then they find each other at some level, the ANC and the EFF. However, not enough to vote for each other as the mayor. And so then they decide to take the DA out of office. And the reason they decide to take the DA out of office is because we start fixing things and we start exposing corruption and we start doing things that they don't like us doing. Now, in the case of Metsi Mahoro, there was a very specific thing. The ANC and EFF were very much in support of the town, Metsi Mahoro, paying tens of millions of rands to a property developer to whom the money was not owed. Now, when the mayor drew it to my attention, and I'm responsible for the governance unit in the DA, and Mayor Zwani contacted me and said, this is going to bankrupt the municipality, and we really need the governance unit's help in dealing with this because we cannot in good faith go ahead and pay these millions out. We went to Metsi Mahoro. We got all of the papers and the documents claiming that the municipality owed this developer money. We took it to our legal team. They analyzed it and said, the municipality doesn't owe a cent to this developer. And so it seemed to us all of a piece in what happens in other places in the run-up to elections when the ANC and maybe this time the EFF too need money for elections, then all kinds of spurious claims get made against municipalities who then pay it out under the guise of owing money for certain developments or whatever it is, and then they get millions out of the public purse. That is an old trick. Now, we can't prove that that's the case here, but we have to ask, how is it that the ANC and EFF were so desperate for us to pay these tens of millions of rands, well over 30 million rand, to this developer when the municipality didn't owe that money? So we went to court and we got an interdict against that money being paid. And the minute we got our interdict, the ANC said, well, now we're taking you out of power. And then suddenly the ANC and EFF found each other and said they were going to vote out the DA and put the AIC in rather, who presumably will be more amenable to these millions flowing out of the coffers of the municipality. So the minute we said this is not going to happen, we took it to court to stop it, and we were successful in stopping these tens of millions being paid. Then the ANC and EFF decided they'd had enough of Jeff Zwani and they were going to get rid of him. And then they did that illegally as well. So we challenged that in court as well and won again.
But it's surely if they found each other, he's not going to be in that position for very long. Is there anything else that can be done to stop this money being paid to this developer?
Well, we are now getting a final interdict and we will make it an order of court that they may not pay that money over to the developer.
It's such an interesting point, this one, because we had a story yesterday with another developer, but this time in Gauteng, called ValueMax, which has got billions of rands of projects approved by the Gauteng government, and it's being linked to some very dodgy stuff that's been going on within the ANC. We've run this story. The guy who's exposed it is completely convinced, and he's got all kinds of evidence to show it. And I guess we were naive to think that there was only one Basasa. If you think back there, Basasa had people within the ANC government who were supporting it, who had paid, who then protected it. It couldn't only be one. And here we have a property, a development company that you've spoken about in Metsi Mahoro, and there must be many others that just haven't surfaced yet.
Well, if anybody thinks there was only one, they must be smoking their socks. I mean, years ago, I think it was Kgalema Motlanthe said that every project that the ANC undertakes is designed to get somebody in the ANC rich. So the government undertakes projects so that they can partner with people outside government and enrich those individuals and the ANC. So there are three interlocking circles in the Venn diagram. One is the ANC, one is the ANC in government, and one is the ANC in business. And they meet at the sweet spot in the middle, and they just keep enriching each other. So Basasa is just the norm. I mean, it's no exception. It's just one that came out.
But why aren't we having more of these, do you think? More value maxes, more Basasa type operations, or more, what is this one called, Lizette the Zell project. Mm.
Yes, well, look, you need to have people really on the inside digging away. And you found with the ANC and EFF that if there are whistleblowers, they get marginalized, they get destroyed, and today they get killed. It's not as if it was like 15, 20 years ago where they would just work you out and you'd sit unemployed because you'd be on a blacklist. For example, like Vusi Pikoli, he was worked out and he was on a blacklist for a long time under Zuma because he had the temerity to stand up and prosecute people that Zuma did not want him to prosecute. And so in those days, you just got marginalized. Today, you get killed. Babita Diokaran is just one example. I mean, a hit squad is very easy to put together, and killers for hire are to a penny. So far from being an exception, where the ANC and EFF governs, corruption is absolutely the rule. And if anybody blows the whistle, they can be absolutely sure that they're not going to potentially be around much longer. I mean, they're the most ghastly things. If the EFF wants to get somebody, for example, appointed in a selection panel, the competitors of the person that the EFF wants to get through will get a phone call instructing them not to arrive for the interview. And they know that if they do arrive for the interview, it's not the last they're going to hear of it. So, I mean, there are so many tactics and strategies, Alec, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, I can write my next book on them. The innovation when it comes to corruption is just beyond comprehension.
So what happens next? We've got an election next year. If there is to be a change in government, can all of this stuff be rolled back?
Well, it's very difficult. You know, you've got labor laws in this country that make it hard to get rid of people and sweep the stairs from the top. Because if you want to deal with corruption, the staircase has to be swept from the very top. And it is very hard to deal with people and even harder to get evidence because evidence is destroyed and anybody who speaks out, as I just said, puts their life in danger. And then it takes a very long time to move people out of their performance positions, even if they perform poorly and even if there's a case against them. It can take years and years and years, as we've seen with the public protector, for example, who had an open and shut case against her. So it is going to be very, very difficult unless we change the labor laws. I was lucky in Cape Town and the Western Cape when I took over. Things were broken, but they were not unfixable. We've learned an enormous amount through those coalitions in Johannesburg, Tshwane and Johannesburg, and Ekurhuleni and Mohali City, where we learned just how hard it is to turn things around. And if the voters have chosen to make the coalition ungovernable by giving us many, many very small parties to try and put together in a balancing act who can walk across the floor at any moment if they don't get their way with us, the ANC will make them an offer, well, then it's absolutely impossible to turn things around. We've got to have a strong central pillar that is principled, that won't buckle, and that's the DA. And if voters fragment their vote across all the tiny parties, we can never turn this around.
Johannesburg, you've mentioned it there, and you've got an interesting approach to Johannesburg, which came through over the weekend, that essentially you'd like to rerun the November 2021 election. How much support are you getting from other opposition parties?
Well, it's a very common thing, let me start off by saying, in countries which have coalitions, that when there is no path to a stable, ethical and functional coalition, as there is not in Johannesburg, then the sphere of government dissolves and they go back to the voters. It's not an unusual thing. And here the voters dealt us what we consider an unplayable hand. We got 26% of the vote. If we got 46% of the vote, it would have been a lot different. But instead, many opposition voters spread their votes between many, many different parties, which gave us a 6 or 7 or 8 party coalition. There are 8 parties of about 1 or 2 seats each that each have the balance of power. It's impossible to run a government like that. We won't work with the PA. We've been let down at least 5 times by them. And there are many other reasons that we won't work with them. So there really is no path to a stable, ethical government in Johannesburg. And we're saying when that happens, you go back to the voters and say, you decide. We had an unplayable hand last time. Are you going to give us a playable hand this time?
And if all goes well, in other words, if other parties like Action SA support you in this, when might it happen?
Well, we can only table the motion 2 years after the election, so we can table it from the 2nd of November in terms of the Structures Act, which is what we're going to be moving in the council, and we probably have already by the stage in the afternoon, move that we meet with a specific purpose on the 2nd of November or the closest, convenient and appropriate time after the 1st of November that council meets, disband itself and goes back to the public for a fresh election on Johannesburg to see if we can get a governable arrangement coming out of that.
Action SA is very unhappy at the moment that you aren't supporting them in the vote of no confidence. Might that be a spanner in the works?
No, they've withdrawn their motion of no confidence.
But they did it because you weren't supporting them, from what I understand.
Well, we said that there's absolutely no path to a stable government. You know, these musical chairs are absolutely debilitating and just add to the ungovernability of Johannesburg. One day you're in, one day you're out. Gate McKenzie says he'll come back, but he demands two make-up positions. And, you know, it's just the politics of extortion and bribery and then a merry-go-round on top of it. So we have basically said there's no path. We've tried it three times. We will not get onto this roller coaster again. It will make things worse, not better. And we are asking the voters to make a choice.
Gaten McKenzie, in an interview with my colleague Chris Stain, said that you had led three meetings between the DA and the ANC. What's the story there?
I don't know what he's talking about. You know, if he's claiming that, he must say when, where, why. I mean, it's absolutely not true. So I don't know what he's talking about.
But why would he say something like that? Do you think someone in the ANC is trying to cause trouble?
I have no idea. But I mean, if he thinks that I have spoken to anybody in the ANC since just after November 2021 about these things, then he's smoking his socks because I haven't had any meetings with him. I've seen individuals, obviously. I've seen individuals here and there. And I see people at functions and I see them in meetings about other things, but not about getting into coalitions with people.
Mm. How are you feeling now about 2024? It's not that far away.
Well, you know, we work every single day flat out, and South Africa knows if they want decent, honest government, there's only one party to vote for if they want stability into the process as well and experience and integrity. They know that, and now it's over to the voters. Voters can't complain if they don't vote in the first instance. And we are there. We put candidates up absolutely everywhere. We do our best all the time. We try to continuously improve on what we're doing. We're going through a very rigorous candidate selection process now to choose the very best of those candidates who've applied. And we do our bit. It's now over to the voters.
And all the new entrants, particularly Musime Marnie's Boza, he's releasing some pretty impressive candidates in his grouping of the independents. And you've got Action SA also coming to the party. And there seem to be a lot of others who are also beginning to wave their own flags. Is this going to make South Africa ungovernable in the same way as Johannesburg and other parts of the country might be?
Well, that's why we have to work towards a threshold. If you get scores and scores of one-person parties in parliament, nationally we'll become just as ungovernable as we are in many local authorities.
Helen, I saw the news today, I think it was, that Mpho Matlatsi has, and it was only a few months ago, she was challenging John Steenhuisen for the leadership of the DA, is leaving politics. What's the story behind that?
Well, she isn't leaving the DA. She's very committed to the DA. She wants to go back to medicine. She's a qualified medical doctor. And obviously, she was the mayor for a while, and it was worth her while to give up her medical career to pursue that, being the mayor of Johannesburg. But now, as an ordinary councillor, with no pathway back to power at this stage, she's prioritizing her medical career, and I understand that. And she says there's too much contestation for her time. Being a mother, I think, of three children, maybe two, but probably three, and having a family, and also then having to balance her time between being a counselor with many, many meetings per day and the job of being a clinician or an administrator in medicine. So she has chosen to go back to medicine for a while. She's done it very gracefully, very elegantly. She says she's not leaving the DA, and we don't see a problem about that. We just wish her everything of the best. This happens all the time. There's nothing strange about it. People decide they can't juggle all of the things in their lives. Being a counselor is extremely demanding, and they take a choice, and it happens every single day.
Helen Ziller is the chair of the Federal Council of the Democratic Alliance. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.